Hello, and welcome to Open Door Lake CC. My name is Rock, and my lovely wife is Ro. Yes, Rock and Ro, we are thankful that you have joined us today. Our message is titled, Sin, Salvation, and Our New Identity in Christ. Today we will answer an important question. Is sin only something we do, or is sin also connected to who we are before we come to Jesus Christ? We will also look at what happens when a person is born again. Does Jesus only forgive our sinful actions, or does he give us an entirely new identity? The Bible gives us a clear and powerful answer. Let us begin with prayer. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and the truth of your word. Open our hearts and minds. Help us understand the seriousness of sin, the greatness of your grace, and the new identity you give to everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, stir our soul where we need conviction. Encourage us where we need encouragement. Strengthen mature believers, teach new believers, and draw every listener closer to Jesus. May this message point us to the cross, the empty tomb, and the hope of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me begin with a question. Is sin something we do, or is sin something we are? Sin certainly includes actions such as lying, lust, anger, bitterness, pride, and disobedience. But the Bible teaches that sin goes deeper than outward behavior. Sin affects the heart, our fallen nature, and our relationship with God. The sinful action is the fruit, but the sinful nature is the root. Jesus did not come merely to improve our behavior. He came to forgive our sins, cleanse our guilt, break sin's ruling power, give us a new heart, place His Holy Spirit within us, and make us a new creation. Ro, will you please read 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17?
2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here.
The Christian life is not about putting religious decorations on the old person. The gospel is the good news that spiritually dead people can be made alive. The guilty can be forgiven. The condemned can be justified. The lost can be found. The enslaved can be set free. And the sinner can receive a completely new identity before God. Section 1. I titled this, Sin is More Than an Action. The main Greek word translated sin in the New Testament is hamartia. It carries the idea of missing the mark or falling short of the proper standard. Picture an archer aiming at the center of a target. The arrow flies, but misses the mark. God's holiness is the perfect mark. God's righteousness is the perfect standard. Ro, please read Romans chapter 3, verse 23.
Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Thank you, Ro. It does not say only criminals or openly immoral people have sinned. It says all. The religious and non-religious, the wealthy and poor, pastors and church members, parents and children, all have fallen short. Jesus Christ alone lived without sin. Sin includes what we do. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 4.
1 John 3, verse 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness.
When God says, do not lie, and we lie, that is sin. When God says, forgive, and we hold bitterness, that is sin. Sin includes our words, actions, attitudes, motives, thoughts, and decisions. Sin also includes what we fail to do. Look at James 4, verse 17.
James chapter 4, verse 17. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them.
There are sins of commission, doing what God forbids, and sins of omission, failing to do what God commands. Jesus taught that sin begins within the heart. Mark 7 says that evil thoughts, greed, deceit, envy, arrogance, and other sins come from within. Better education, better surroundings, or more money may improve circumstances, but they cannot cure the human heart. When Adam rebelled, sin entered the human race. Let us look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12, which explains that sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin.
Romans chapter 5 verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. Also Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says that apart from Christ we were. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins.
Thank you, Ro. People without Christ may do kind and generous things. But human goodness cannot erase human guilt. Religion cannot remove sin. Morality cannot produce the new birth. Church attendance cannot replace repentance. We do not need minor spiritual improvement. We need spiritual resurrection. Section 2 is titled, Sin Brings Guilt, Separation, and Death. Sin is serious because God is holy. The world may rename sin as a weakness, a mistake, a choice, or simply being human. But ultimately, sin is rebellion against the God who created us, loves us, and rightfully rules over us. Turn to Isaiah 59 verse 2.
Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear.
God cannot simply ignore evil. A judge who lets every guilty person walk free would not be loving. He would be corrupt. Because God is righteous, sin must be judged. Because God is loving, he provided a substitute to bear that judgment. The cross is where God's justice and God's mercy meet. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 23.
Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
A wage is earned. Sin earns death, physical death, spiritual separation, and eternal judgment for those who remain outside Christ. Think of this. But eternal life is a gift. Salvation cannot be purchased with good works. Jesus already paid for it. Good deeds do not cancel guilt. Church activity does not erase pride. Charity does not erase rebellion. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22.
Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22 says, In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness.
Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from sin. Section 3. Jesus came to take away our sin. John the Baptist saw Jesus and declared. Look at the book of John chapter 1 verse 29.
John chapter 1 verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Jesus did not come merely to discuss sin or give advice. He came to give his life as our sacrifice. Jesus was fully God and fully man. He faced temptation, yet never sinned. Look at Hebrews 4 verse 15.
Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, which says he was tempted in every way as we are. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin.
He fulfilled God's law perfectly and willingly took the place of sinful humanity.
Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed.
Jesus was not dying for his own sin. He had none. Our guilt was placed upon him. Our judgment fell upon him. Isaiah 53 says he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. At the cross, Jesus took what we deserved so we could receive what we could never earn. He received judgment so we could receive mercy. He experienced rejection so we could be accepted. He entered death so we could receive eternal life. Before Jesus died, he cried, John 19 verse 30, it is finished. The Greek word is tetelestai. It means completed, accomplished, paid in full. Jesus did not say, I have done my part. Now you finish the rest. The payment was complete. The sacrifice was sufficient. We need Jesus Christ alone. The gospel does not end with a dead savior in a tomb. On the third day, Jesus rose bodily from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 says Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day. Christianity is based upon a living Savior. Because he lives, those who trust in him receive new life. Section 4. What happens when we are born again? Jesus told Nicodemus. Turn to John chapter 3 verse 3.
John chapter 3 verse 3 says, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again."
Being born again is not turning over a new leaf, making a resolution, becoming more religious, or merely joining a church. It is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. A spiritually dead sinner is made alive. First, we are forgiven.
Look at Colossians chapter 2 verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins.
The blood of Jesus is greater than our worst failure. His grace is greater than our deepest shame. Second, we are justified. Look at Romans 5 verse 1.
Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ."
To be justified means God declares the believing sinner righteous because of Jesus. Forgiveness removes our debt. Justification goes further and credits Christ's righteousness to us. Jesus received our guilt, and we receive his righteousness. Third, we are adopted. Look at John chapter 1 verse 12.
John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God."
Salvation does not merely make us pardoned criminals. It makes us beloved children. Our identity is no longer rooted in our past, failures, income, education, or other people's opinions. Our identity is rooted in Jesus Christ. Fourth, we receive the Holy Spirit. He lives within every born-again believer. He convicts, teaches, comforts, strengthens, reminds us of God's word, produces spiritual fruit, and empowers us to resist temptation. Finally, we become a new creation. Before Christ, we were spiritually dead. In Christ, we are alive. Before Christ, we were condemned. In Christ, there is no condemnation. Before Christ, sin was our master. In Christ, sin is no longer our rightful master. This is not merely improved behavior. This is a changed identity. Now we come to section 5, titled, The Believer's Ongoing Battle. Being born again does not mean sin's presence immediately disappears. Jesus removes sin's penalty and breaks its ruling power, but believers can still be tempted and can still stumble. Please read 1 John 1 verse 8 and Romans 6 verse 14.
1 John chapter 1 verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Yet Romans chapter 6 verse 14 says, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace."
Sin may still shout commands, but it no longer has rightful authority. Galatians 5 verse 17 explains that the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh.
Galatians chapter 5 verse 17 says, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want."
The presence of a battle does not necessarily mean you are unsaved. Often the battle is evidence that the Holy Spirit is working within you. You begin grieving over things that once seemed normal. You develop a desire to please God and to be free from habits that dishonor Him. We must also understand the difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation says, "You are hopeless. God does not want you. Give up." Conviction says, "What you did was wrong. Confess it. Return to God and walk in obedience." Conviction leads us toward Jesus. Condemnation tries to drive us away. Look at God's word here. Romans chapter 8 verse 1.
Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus."
Section 6 titled, Our New Identity Should Produce New Actions. We must avoid two errors. One says, my actions save me. That is legalism. The other says, my actions do not matter. That is lawlessness. Look at Ephesians 2 verses 8 to 10.
Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
We are not saved by good works. We are saved for good works. Good works are not the root of salvation. They are the fruit. Our position in Christ describes who we are because of Jesus. Our practice describes how we are living each day. In our position, we are forgiven. In our practice, we are learning to forgive. In our position, we are declared righteous. In our practice, we are learning to live righteously. This lifelong process is called sanctification. Justification happens the moment we trust Christ. Sanctification continues throughout life. In justification, God declares us righteous. In sanctification, God develops righteous character within us. You may not be where you want to be, but by God's grace, you should not be where you once were. You may still struggle with anger, but now you repent more quickly. You may still face temptation, but now you're learning to flee. Growth may seem slow, but God is faithful. Do not build your identity around your worst struggle. You may struggle with anger, but anger is not your master. You may face temptation, but temptation is not your identity. You may have failed, but failure is not your name. You are in Christ. You are forgiven. You are adopted. You are being transformed. You belong to Jesus. Grace is not permission to sin. Romans 6 asks, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Paul answers, by no means. Grace is not permission to remain in slavery. Grace is God's power to bring us out of slavery. Section 7. What should a believer do after sinning? A believer who sins should not hide from God. We should run to him in confession and repentance.
Look at 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
To confess means to agree with God. We stop excusing and blaming. We say, Lord, you are right. I was wrong. Please cleanse me and help me obey. Remember your advocate.
Look at 1 John chapter 2 verse 1 says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
Our hope is not that we have performed perfectly. Our hope is that Jesus paid completely. Then get back up. Peter denied Jesus, but Jesus restored him. David sinned terribly, but he repented. Thomas doubted, but Jesus met him in his doubt. John Mark abandoned a missionary journey, but later became useful for ministry. Your failure does not have to be the final chapter. Restoration begins with honesty, confession, humility, and surrender. Section 8. Three stages of deliverance from sin. A helpful way to understand salvation is through three stages. First, we have been saved from sin's penalty. This is justification. The moment we trust Jesus, our guilt is forgiven and we are declared righteous. Second, we are being saved from sin's power. This is sanctification. Day by day, the Holy Spirit changes our desires, thoughts, habits, and actions. Third, we will be saved from sin's presence. This is glorification. One day, when we are with Christ, the struggle will be completely over. There will be no temptation, no sinful flesh, no death, mourning, or pain. Justification, saved from sin's penalty. Sanctification, being saved from sin's power. Glorification, one day saved from sin's presence. What a wonderful salvation. I'm going to be direct with you. It is possible to know Christian words without knowing Christ. It is possible to attend church, own a Bible, and admire Jesus without being born again. Jesus did not say, you must become slightly more religious. He said, you must be born again. Ask yourself, have I personally repented of my sin? Am I trusting in Jesus Christ alone? Do I believe he died for my sins and rose from the dead? Have I received him, or have I only learned facts about him? Genuine faith does not produce instant perfection, but it produces a changed direction. The person who once ran from God begins walking toward God. The person who defended sin begins confessing sin. The person who trusted in self begins depending upon Christ. Perhaps today you realize that you have never truly been born again. Maybe you have been religious or attended church for years. But salvation is personal. Your family, pastor, church, baptism, and good works cannot save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. Acts 4 verse 12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Jesus died for your sins, was buried, rose again, and is alive today. He offers forgiveness, eternal life, and a new identity. You do not have to clean yourself up before coming to Jesus. Come as you are. But when you truly come, he loves you too much to leave you as you are. Romans 10 verse 9 says, "If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved." This is not about magical words. It is about sincerely turning from sin and trusting Jesus Christ. You can call upon him right now. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I have fallen short of God's perfect standard, and I cannot save myself. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, were buried, and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me and wash me clean. I turn from my old life and place my faith in you. Be my Lord and Savior. Give me a new heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you for loving me, forgiving me, and giving me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. In closing, if you sincerely placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you are not saved because your prayer was perfectly worded. You are saved because Jesus Christ is a perfect Savior. Begin reading the Bible. The book of John is a good place to start. Pray each day. Find a Bible-teaching church. Tell another believer. Be baptized as an outward declaration of your faith. And when you stumble, do not run away from Jesus. Run toward Jesus. Sin is both a fallen condition and sinful action. Before Christ, we were spiritually dead and under sin's authority. But Jesus lived without sin, died in our place, carried our guilt, paid our debt, and rose from the dead. Everyone who repents and believes receives forgiveness, righteousness, adoption, the Holy Spirit, eternal life, and a new identity. A believer can still stumble, but sin is no longer our rightful master, the foundation of our identity, or our final destination. You may still struggle, but you are not abandoned. You may stumble, but you are not condemned. You may still be under construction, but God is not finished with you. Your old identity says guilty. Jesus says forgiven. Your old identity says condemned. Jesus says no condemnation. Your old identity says slave to sin. Jesus says set free. Your old identity says spiritually dead. Jesus says made alive. So walk in the new life he has given you. Stay in his word. Depend upon the Holy Spirit. Confess sin quickly. Forgive freely. Love genuinely. Share the gospel boldly. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the truth of your word. We confess that all have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We could never save ourselves, but you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. Lord Jesus, thank you for bearing our sins, paying our debt in full, and rising from the dead. Help every believer understand their new identity in Christ. When the enemy reminds us of our past, remind us of the cross. When temptation calls, remind us that sin is no longer our master. When we stumble, lead us quickly into confession and repentance. Holy Spirit, change our thoughts, desires, words, attitudes, and actions. Strengthen the mature believer. Encourage the new believer. Restore the one who has wandered. Draw the unsaved to Jesus. Help us walk in grace, truth, holiness, humility, and love. We give you all the honor, glory, and praise. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you for joining us today. This is Rock and Row with Open Door Lake CC. May the Lord bless you, strengthen you, and help you always remember who you are in Jesus Christ. Have a great week.